A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello there, I'm Pete Donaldson from the Football Ramble. Ooh. And you may have noticed that there's an extra show this week. Basically, what happens is every week we climb through a big mountain of correspondence, of emails, little messages and stuff like that, and we can't get through all of them. We can only really have time for like two or three week.
We are just men.
We are just men. We are but men.
Mere mortals.
And it's sad. So what we thought, we'll stick in a little extra show, a little cheeky 20-minute or something like that, and we'll try and bash through as many emails as we can possibly get through in that amount of time. And we'll give you an extra round, an off-book Romario-style kind of Harlem Globetrotters tour edition of Going for Glold as well.
That's the spirit. We'll bash through them. this is our shredder,
exactly.
And by the way, if your email gets read out on this one, it's because it wasn't as good as the others, so it didn't get on a main show.
So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble Shredder Show. Luke, you often have a go at our listeners. Why don't you get us?
Why don't you get in the first blow?
So people listening at home who obviously don't have eyes on this. Pete has printed out a load of emails. He's put them on a pile in the middle of the desk. There you go.
Just to prove it. Yeah.
I have just taken one off top of the pile. So this one is from Dan from Australia. He says, "Good day, Ramblers. I'm aware this might make me sound a little crazy, but during the most recent podcast episode, I got an intense feeling of deja vu during the talk about Mourinho hypocritically complaining about his squad's injuries.
Yeah.
In fact, I was able to say one of the next lines from one of the boys in my head, word for word. Now, being suitably freaked out, I decided to make sure I hadn't accidentally cued an old podcast, and I can confirm the episode was indeed October 31st, 2017. The spooky feeling was compounded when I took to the Football Ramble socials to see if any other listeners had experienced the phenomena, as it's not the first time the feeling has occurred during a Ramble listen for me, but I was dismayed to find out that any attempts to access the Facebook page for the show immediately caused my iPhone to crash. That could be something to do with us, but it might be your phone. In the wake of this evidence, I've concluded only three reasonable causes could be in play here. One, football, and by extension football shows, repeat the same patterns and are thus formulaic and repetitive, in which case an existential crisis may be in order, as well as an inquiry into the Ramble and its reuse of old scripts. Scandal stuff. Listen, Dan, as if this needed to be said, nothing about this is scripted.
Yeah. Can I vote for this one?
Yeah. But the second option is that Pete indulges in the occasional practical joke in editing to see if anybody notices and decide to throw one in for Halloween.
Nice.
Did you do that, Pete?
We should do time checks on the show.
Pete's nowhere near that diligent.
No.
And the third option is
Pete
that
giving himself extra work.
Yeah.
Mind you, we are doing this.
Yeah, true. Yeah. The third option is that I often listen to podcasts as I drift off to sleep, sleep, and in those moments of semi-wakedness, I temporarily gain the power to hear podcasts of the future. That is likely, I think. That is probably the most likely one. Or that my podcast queue gets muddled up as it plays through the night, and I'm occasionally lucid enough to pick up stray bits of dialogue I've heard before, which is perhaps more likely. Regardless of the cause, I feel this is a matter that needs to be brought to the attention of the Ramble, as answers need to be forthcoming, and I would be curious to know if any listeners have also experienced such strange phenomena around the show. Regards and happy Halloween, Dan from Australia. So, go on, Jim.
I wonder if we're the people that Dan should be reaching out to.
Yeah, I don't think
we're literally the ones, you know, messing with your mind. I think we're getting in the into the swing of things World Cup, yeah, in Russia. And we have handed over the reins of the show to like Russian kind of AI bots. Ooh. And we're just clipping old bits of show together, cobbling it together.
Or could you have put the date wrong in somehow when you uploaded it and it just is a show from the future?
Yeah, good point. That's not a bad idea.
I think it's the Russian thing, and as a result, next week the show will be co-hosted by Pepe the Frog. Does look a bit like Richard Spencer, so
yeah. I got a horrendous haircut from Mr. Toppers. There's an old lady who works in the Mr. Toppers in Soho, and she is the worst one at cutting the modern hair. I don't know what's happened to her. She's gone through some stuff and she can't cut hair properly, but I always get her because you go and sit down and it's the next person who finishes their haircut that takes you next.
So for those listening outside of the M25,
yep.
Mr. Toppers is the place you can go in London to get a haircut for £8. It used to be £5.
It's £9 now.
It's £9 now. God, it's gone up 12
again. 12 with tip.
Pete, you and I share a barber. Why don't you just go and see Paul? He won't let you down.
Well, he's in King's Cross, isn't he?
Angel, sort of.
Just down the road from where we are now.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I'm going to go back.
I just think if you're going to pay £9 for a Mr. Topper haircut, every haircut's going to be the same, and it's going to be bad. You wouldn't catch me or Spelsy going there for
it. Actually, certainly not.
Mr. Topper has a little bit of Pepe the Frog, doesn't
he? He does.
The person outside the shop.
So there we go.
London listeners,
does it answer your question? It's all the Russians again.
A Halloween,
it's all them.
A Halloween, Halloween start to our email special, perhaps fittingly.
Yeah, although strange because we've moved on from Halloween and we've had Guy Fawkes tonight.
We have,
but then in Australia they probably don't have that.
No, it would
be very weird, very niche.
Pete, do you want to go next?
Pete, why don't you have a dip in the bag?
I'll go next. I've got one. It's a pun based one.
No,
perfect fit.
But it is Halloween, so we better get it out sooner rather than later. My team. This comes from Ned. My team is Cadavenham and Redbridge.
Nice.
Okay, yeah.
They play their games at the demolished Ghost Stadium, the Vicente Calderon.
Calderon.
And they're managed by Kevin Spookegan.
That's a stretch, that one. Did you see, speaking of the Halloween pun thing, see the BBC weather the other day on Halloween?
Did the man have no head?
No. They changed all the so you know you see the weather map.
Yeah.
They changed all the place names to be Halloween pun based.
Nice. Halloween's.
So Burkham's Dead was in there.
Nice.
Ghosterly instead of Osterly. Creepy Crawley was in there.
Nice.
Yeah,
Witchford, which I suppose was Watford.
Right.
Westmonster.
Yeah, Witchford's a stretch.
Yeah. West Malden.
Westmonster is Westminster, isn't it?
Oh, Westminster. Right, sorry. Okay.
You're the king of puns. How did you not know that?
Well, here's the team anyway. Fred Grimm, Reaper.
That works.
A former IX keeper.
Grimm just works.
Yeah,
I know, Grimm.
Fine, you're fine.
The brother, Fred Grimm. The back four consists of England's own John Cemetery.
Nice.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Own goal specialist, Wichard Dunn. angry hatchet legend, Goolian Dix. And Palace defender, James Pumpkins.
James Pumpkins is very good. Strong.
Yeah. In the middle of the park, we have the world's at least winningest footballer, Jack O'Lantern Rod Hell.
Jack O'Lantern Rod Hell.
I like that. I think that's probably the favourite one all so far. Long throw maestro, Gory Delap.
Nice.
Finally, attacking front four of Haunt Teddy Sheringham, Antoine Gruesome, Pierre Faggoidonk, and World Cup winner, Death Hearse. Jeff Hurst? Jesus!
Death Hurst.
That's fantastic.
That's inappropriate. If something happens between now and this going out, that's going to go down like a lead balloon.
Preferred referee is Howard Cobweb, and their stadium announcer at Club Shop Radio DJ, of course, Trick or Treat Donaldson, a.k.a. Grave Degree Donaldson.
Grave Degree Donaldson. So what about Miroslav Ghoster?
Nice.
Ghost. Closer. Ghoster.
Fuguli. I mean, it just does it. Sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Oh, don't make the effort, will you? What about Marcus Speller?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, is that a spooky spell? You can have good spells, can't you?
I suppose you can.
Good voodoo.
Yeah, Scary Henri.
Scary Henri works, yeah.
Nice.
There we are. Jim, why don't you have a dip in the bag?
I'll have a little rummage.
Jock Frankenstein.
Okay, so Steve, we're getting well into this. Here, I have got what looks like half an email.
Oh, good. Pete's admin again.
Yeah.
No, I've just torn it off, mate. Yeah, it is half an email.
I'm going back in.
Go back in. Double
so,
dip.
So, here we go.
Hello, chaps. Long-time listener, first-time emailer. Great story of Neville Southall back in the 90s, as told by Simon N. Ricketts on Twitter. Mm. Alan Myers is Everton's former communications director. That's important to this story. This is just dialogue between themselves, by the sounds of it. I don't think anybody, including Neville himself, was aware of how close he came to becoming Everton manager. I was outside Belfield with Peter Johnson the morning after Joe Royle had left, and we were discussing who should take over as caretaker boss. I have a short list of two, said the chairman. Dave Watson and Neville. But I'm leaning towards Neville because a goalkeeper has less responsibility on the pitch. At this point, Neville pulls up in the car park. It was early and he was always first in for training. He gets out of his car and heads to the Belfield entrance. Seeing me, he yells, "All right, Alan, you fat cunt." As he headed in through the doors, Peter says very dryly, "I think the shortlist is down to one."
Oh, so close, Neville.
That is from Josh Dynan.
Everton could be in League Two by now.
Yeah.
I bet he enjoyed Halloween, Nev.
Oh, yeah, skeletons everywhere.
Yeah, a lot of everywhere. Excuse for skeletons.
Skeletons
yeah.
everywhere.
There we are. I'm going to have a dip in the email bag. And this is from Jack.
Hello,
and
Jack.
Jack Holmes says, "Dear Football Ramble, long-time listener, first-time emailer."
Everyone says that these days.
I know they do. I enjoy your show very much, particularly when Pete is on it. What is going on?
Yes.
With the greatest respect in the world, it is not as good when Pete isn't on
yes.
it. Pete is the best. I'm
yes.
sorry, Pete Donaldson.
Yes.
Is this a plant?
This it looks legitimate.
This is an absolute plant.
I mean, the opening paragraph.
Hopefully I got through your email filters as a result of that praise, but I wanted to tell you a story about a chap I work with. There you go. It's
great.
It's all worked, though, isn't it? Annoyingly.
Yeah.
Well, he's not got on the main show. Yeah. Actually, Pete, that's actually quite admirable for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, he's got a parody Twitter account, this chap that he works for. Now, over a few weeks ago, a discussion about Twitter in the pub, a nameless colleague confided in me that he was the mastermind behind the parody Twitter account for Mick McCarthy.
Mm. Do you remember that one? It's quite big for quite a while.
Yeah. At What Mick Says.
Right.
Is the account. Now, you may think that parody Twitter accounts are boring, overdone and humourless. However, this one bucks the trend, partly because people thought it was real and was often the subject of questions in pre-match press conferences.
Really? That's serious. Very good.
Well, Twitter itself became a hot topic after Greg Halford revealed Stephen Sidwell was at a Wolves game and tweeted the news, which meant Fulham were alerted and swooped in to sign him. This led McCarthy to warn against twits who tweet. Not stopping there, McCarthy was irritated by his imposter and revealed in his pre-match press conference he is aware he has an imposter on Twitter.
Yeah.
Wonderful that Mick McCarthy became aware of this.
He's self-aware, but in a fake kind of way.
Someone said to me, "I'm a contact of yours on Twitter."
I love that.
Yeah.
Follow it.
I'm a contact of yours. That's how it works. I said, "You aren't, mate, because I'm not on Twitter." He said, "Are you not? I've been talking to you for the past 2 years." Well, you were a cock like the bloke who was doing it. Dear, oh dear, I think cock is appropriate for someone who impersonates me on Twitter.
Wow.
So you strong. Accepted the criticism?
Yeah.
Mick's never backwards in coming forward. That's what I like.
That's incredible stuff there. So, Mick McCarthy.
What about this from Grant Kibbis, who wants to be the Australian correspondent? We've had Dan from Australia, and he can predict what's happening in the future. So you're going to have to go some to take it from him, Grant. He says, as a follow-up, hello, Ramblers, as a follow-up to the paparazzo you mentioned last week, with the inserted plastic abs. You remember that? That was none other than the man Darren Lyons, who he says hails from my hometown of Geelong on the southeast coast of Australia. He has a lovely home here on the waterfront, complete with matching sculpted lion statues at its gate and a flagpole that is promptly flown whenever he is in attendance. In 2013, he ran for city mayor and stated that from his time in the UK, he believes every election needs a comedy candidate with great abs. Needless to say, he won by a considerable margin before being thrown out of office with the rest of the council last year. Now, I've checked that out, and it is actually true.
Yeah.
He was the mayor of that town from 2013 onwards.
Well, he is that. You will have seen him in talking head shows and things, that Darren Lyons guy. He's very, very recognisable.
Mr. Paparazzi.
Yeah.
And he says, apparently, a couple of the initiatives he introduced were street parking made free on the weekends and planting plants in the streets. Actually, two quite sensible policies.
Yeah, that's quite nice. Yeah. It's like the monkey man that ran for mayor, the
Hartlepool
United mascot, and he ran on a policy of free bananas for school children, a policy when he got in, he did not uphold.
Really?
Like, so he literally went against his own election promise.
I love how he got in, though.
Yeah, incredible, isn't it?
Darren Lyons apparently has acknowledged his drug abuse, binge drinking and heavy gambling during his life abroad. So there you go.
Well, don't blame abroad. No. He'd probably be doing that in Australia.
But he probably said it and he went, but to be fair, over there, they're all doing it.
Yeah. Don't blame abroad.
I would have stood up for not doing it.
Who's got one then? Peter.
All right, then. I'll take this one. This is Ben Moore. Hello, Ben. I've been meaning to bring this up for a while, but I got sidetracked with the Leicester shenanigans. I seem to remember a show from last year when I think Luke was heaping praise on Dave Bassett, calling him a safe pair of hands.
Oh, to my nice. Did I?
Apparently so. To my mind, Bassett is Keegan on steroids in terms of antics. A true journeyman manager of the old First Division. However, safe hands he was not, although he almost got his mitts on the England job. He's remembered, of course, as doing a great job for Wimbledon, but actually just realised he could literally bully his way through the lower leagues by nurturing prodigious young talents of the likes of John Fashanu, Vinnie Jones, Laurie Sanchez and Dennis Wise with very little to no tactical acumen. The season after he left, Wimbledon won the FA Cup. I'm pretty sure he got Watford and Sheffield United both relegated in the same season and generally caused havoc wherever he went. He was even ahead of his time on having a Diego Costa-style standoff with Pierre van Hooijdonk whilst at Forest. The thing is, when you look a bit closer at his managerial career, the wheels seem to fall out quite quickly wherever he went. Some great stories can be found out of Bassett and his managerial style, including an epic Christmas party when he came into my beloved Leicester to steady the ship along with Dennis Wise, who seemed to become his trusty right-hand man wherever he found himself in the hot seat. The one story I remember best is when Bassett pops his head into the Christmas party at Filbert Street when Savage was slapping Wise in the face for buying him a dildo in the club's Secret Santa.
I remember him being terrible at Leicester, though.
Yeah, but to my mind, the following quote sums up his managerial side best. The manager who once organised the Sheffield United Christmas party in August because his team only seemed to get going after Santa paid his annual visit was not unduly upset by reports of Dennis Wise and Robbie Savage scratching each other's eyes out at the Fox's Bash. I looked in at the end of that do and I couldn't believe how sober everyone was, Bassett explains. The hotel manager even complimented me on the behaviour of the players. Christmas parties aren't what they used to be, that's all I can say. Back in my Wimbledon days, the hotel would have been wrecked.
I love that that's a criticism.
Yeah, I know.
He was even ahead of his time in terms of the David Moyes School of Psychology. When asked about Leicester being relegation candidates, people don't want to face it, but this is exactly what Leicester are, he explains. There's no point kidding ourselves or the fans. I don't think we should be shooting up the table this season. I can see us battling relegation all the time, quite possibly until the last day.
There he is, nice motivation.
I reckon he could outdo Keegan on many fronts.
I think it's a bit harsh on
imagine going to a party that Dennis Wise and Robbie Savage were at.
And say it's not raucous enough.
It'd be awful. I think Robbie Savage is teetotal, actually.
Oh, is he?
I think so, yeah.
Why does he always sound like he's just about to be sick, then? He's always got a wet mouth.
I don't. But Dave Bassett, he got back-to-back promotions with Sheffield United in the late 80s.
Right.
Into 1990, sorry. Well, yeah, I think that's
it
a
touch. It was the late 80s, though.
Yeah, but then he got Forest promoted from Division 1 in the sort of late 90s, if you like. So,
yeah.
Look, he clearly is a manager of yesteryear. let's make that quite clear. But, you know, he's had a respectable career, hasn't he? Yeah, Luke, you wouldn't have said
I don't think I did say that. Can I give you an email from Dr. Richard Cordero?
I should say so.
Wow.
Chiefly because he's called Dr. Richard Cordero.
Yeah.
And if that's not his real name, it's a fantastic moniker. He says, very quickly, I love you all. Thank you, Doctor.
Thanks, Doc.
He says, I just checked my podcatcher. And noted that it says since April 24th, 2009, I know not the actual beginning, but the lost episodes of your shows are lost. And I looked and I couldn't find them. He says, but since April 2009, you have all provided your listeners free of charge with 23 days, 12 hours and 54 minutes of content.
He is a doctor.
That is worrying. 23 days of stuff.
Not far off a month.
He says, that's a spelling Guantanamo, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Hey? Or to put it in Pete's language, 16.5 gigabytes, Pete.
Well, what I would say is that's probably aided by the fact there was a decision made by my bad self to change to a mono stream so that people could download on the go on 3G under the 25 megabyte file limit where possible.
Thank you, Peter.
I did help.
Good to know. cheers, Dr. Richard Cordero.
That's fantastic.
23 days of the ramble. I'd love to hear from anyone who... what we should do is like a marathon listening. Who can listen? We'll all do it together. We'll be there.
No. We should have some sort of advent calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think we should just play them back to back and see who lasts the longest.
Yeah. The 24 days of ramble.
I'd walk out straight away.
Indeed, yeah.
Not worth it.
I have an email here.
I've got better things to do.
Yeah.
Hello, Ramble. I just thought I would mention how disappointing the Liverpool Stadium announcer is at Anfield. I've never heard someone so dull announcing what's going on. I wish they had someone with a thick Scouse accent in the seat instead. So my question is, who does the Ramble think would be the best and worst stadium announcers? I have some ideas to go on. Brian Blessed.
That's a great shout.
Very good.
Yeah. That'd be brilliant.
Chris Kamara.
No.
Bit done.
He's on TV, it's over. He's on TV all the time. He doesn't need it.
Jeff Shreves.
Oh, is he seriously suggesting
that? Put that in the good one.
Put that in the shredder.
Yeah, cool. Well, that was a hell of a football match, but I think I can match it. He would just keep announcing stuff while the game was
Jeff
going
Shreves
on.
Would be,
I'm still here.
He would have to announce. He would have to announce a substitution.
Yeah.
And after a while, he would probably just start going, "Well, do you want to know what I'm doing?
Yeah.
I'm doing stuff. Yeah. Come back to me.
I'm killing it on Candy Crush here.
I've got a Sudoku on the go.
Some bad ones. Claude Puel. I'm not sure. I think that would be quite nice to hear from Claude if your team had got hammered.
Be a waste of his talents, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Rio Ferdinand.
I like Rio.
David Attenborough.
And then he's put
Attenborough would be the best one. Just sort of commentating on the whole game as if it's like a wildlife event.
It's too chilled out.
You've not done a Rio voice for years. Remember when you used to do Rio every week? Enjoyed that.
That was me, yeah.
And to finish off the bad ones, he's put Maurizio Pochettino in brackets before he learned English. That's an endless list of people.
This is why we don't read out many.
Yeah, some of these belong in the shredder.
I thought to myself, David O'Leary.
Yeah.
It would be too quiet. Who's coming off the bench? Number 16.
One of my babies.
I've got one from Justin from Halifax, NS. Nova Scotia.
Yeah, it must be.
There's no way I will ever get up at 8 a.m. to watch Man United do nothing against Spurs. I don't even have a dog in the race. Best bet for next time, he wanted to be the best bet guy, is that I don't bother and stay in bed. Mourinho fooled me for last time, DG.
Baffling piece of correspondence.
I should say the Liverpool Stadium announcer emails from Adam Phillips. Thank you, Adam.
Okay. I've got a nameless one here. So sorry about that.
Probably because Pete ripped it in half.
Well, it's not on the piece of paper, so yeah, it probably is that. All right, Ramblers, because I've just started a master's degree and my propensity for self-destruction knows no bounds, I've recently re-downloaded the seminal Football Manager 2013, where I am currently at the helm of a vintage Blackburn Rovers side. I'm talking Morten Gamst Pedersen. I'm talking a youthful Scott Dan. And yes, a certain Nuno Gomez is plying his glorious trade up front. Wow. When I took the job, I immediately sacked all the backroom staff so I could bring my own boys in. And Nwankwo Kanu straight in as my assistant manager, my giant shoulder to cry on. Anyway, I started to have a few problems with then midfield prodigy Jason Lowe. Time and time again, he would get sent off, hurling himself recklessly into two-footed challenges, berating the referees and generally undermining the vision Nwankwo and I had for the club. It was then that I thought back to the Ramble discussion on the potential positive influence that the Dags could have on the three lines this summer. That's Dads and Guardians. Believe it or not, young Jason's father, David, was in my coaching staff when I joined the club. I immediately got him back in on a lucrative new deal, watching over his wayward son and providing the kind of paternal discipline that Nwankwo and I simply couldn't muster. Well, boys, the next game young Jason starts, he bags a goal within 10 minutes and hasn't received a single booking since his father rejoined the coaching staff. The evidence is conclusive. We need the Dags on the plane to Moscow. All the best. Richie, found his name.
Dags.
I mean, it's a long way of saying that we need the Dags on the plane. We already knew this, but thank you, Richie, for doing the workings for us.
All the evidence that, you know, can be further compiled is appreciated.
Nice to get a mention of Morten Gamst Pedersen, who not only is still playing for Tromso,
he
was in a Norwegian boy band as well.
Was he really?
Yeah, he looks the type as well, doesn't he?
Nice to get a mention for Kanu, who is still playing.
Yeah. And this is a Nigerian boy band.
Very much a man band.
I was about to say, yeah. But it's good to get his first name, because he just became known as Kanu, but it's Nwankwo.
Apparently, Morten Gamst was this boy band thing was with other Norwegian footballers, I think,
and they did
a couple of songs for charity or something like that.
I like the Spice Boys.
They were called the Players. Terrible name.
Oh.
Sounds like a packet of cigarettes.
Was one of their songs called "Your Boys Took One Hell of a Beating"?
To be honest, if we had a boy band, they would be called the Cigarettes.
Boy Division. That's what I'd go with.
There we are. That's it, Peter. Unless you've got one more.
Well, let's do a little bit of Going for Gold.
Oh, of course,
break,
sorry.
Bonus going for
I knew
gold.
There was a grand finale somewhere.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I've never felt this bad ever.
Nice one to me.
Stafford got for gold. Win there, go win
for, go win for. Lord.
Bonus edition.
Stop, Tim Sherwood. what's Tim Sherwood doing?
What is he doing?
He's probably chipping off on Middle Eastern TV, isn't he?
I reckon that's where he belongs. What do you reckon? Yeah. They're on Malaysia.
He comes from Boreham Wood. He ain't no fucking good.
There is an going for gold set of clues by Jeremy Bale. Thank you, Jeremy Bale. I hope you... see fit to listen to this episode, otherwise you're going to miss out, aren't you?
Have you just got one going for gold, or is it because you've got a load of paper in your hand? Have you got loads of going for gold?
I've got one going for gold from Jamie Bell. All right.
Why have you got the extra paper in your hand, just out of interest?
In honour of Jamie Bell. It's a big bale of paper.
Bale of paper.
All right. I was born on April Fool's Day, 1969.
Stop. I'm going to go for Lothar Matthäus.
Ooh, no.
Stop. Colin Hendry.
No, but lovely to have a mention of the great man and his great hair. He could be in a boy band.
I think
really
he's
bad one.
I think he's bankrupt. I think okay. I think he is.
Good, all right. Yeah. I once injured myself by picking a bag out of my car.
Stop. Santiago Canizares.
Incorrect.
Stop. Steve Claridge.
Incorrect.
Stop. Paul Rideout.
Incorrect.
Good name.
I was named...
Sometimes you just have to do that with these ages.
Yeah. I was named League One Goalkeeper of the Week for February 2009.
Oh, stop. What's the name of that keeper?
I'm not going to give it you.
Kevin Paul.
No.
Oh. Stop. Kevin Pressman.
No.
Stop.
Kevin Keeper?
Alan Kelly.
No.
Stop. Barry Sutherland.
Oh, steady. You're the rule man.
It was
when it
a
comes
joke,
to
but
gold.
It was an inappropriate
Barry
joke.
Saves, I said.
Nice. I was the 11th man to score a first half Premier League hat trick. The 11th man.
Say that again? Ooh.
I was the 11th man to score a first half Premier League hat trick.
What, and he's played in goal for a League One team? And one goalkeeper in a month?
You're having a laugh, Donaldson.
Is it Tim Sherwood?
No.
Tim Sherwood.
You've wasted a guess there.
Stop, Mark.
Ian Warne.
Not Ian Warne. Carry on.
Jim.
No, I don't know.
No, okay. In 2005, I was voted the fourth best player in Hull City's history.
2005?
Yep.
Who knows what Hull will do in 2005? Not me.
Stop. Kevin Nolan.
Incorrect.
That's what I was trying to get. I don't think there was a Hull connection. I thought, I'm going to bloody well say his name.
For some reason, all of us are on some sort of Kevin.
Yeah, maybe. Kevin
when Kirk. There seems to be no reason for
a
that.
A Kevin kick.
Yeah.
Stop, Kevin Keegan.
In December 2016, I was declared bankrupt. Speak of the devil.
Colin
Stop.
Dean Windass.
Dean Windass!
Yes!
Oh, well done, Jimbo.
Well done. I scored my final Premier League goal at the age of 39. But yeah, he was named League One Goalkeeper of the Week for February 2009.
Incredible. Okay.
Because he got put in the
Football League bands.
Got put in bins, didn't he? Yep. So well done, Jamie Bale, for astoundingly defeating the Ramblers for the second time this week.
No, Jim got it.
I just got it.
Jim got it. Whenever there's lots of pieces of paper around, I get confused. Yeah. Get very distracted.
It's the closest you'll ever get to the Dean Windass Hall of Fame coming back.
Accept it. Yeah. Possibly. There we are. We're over, aren't we, Peter?
Shortthefootballramble.com. You want to say hello? Because to be quite frank, we've gone through all of the emails we've got this week.
We've got nothing left.
We are spent.
Thank you for your emails, though. Mm. And say goodbye, chaps.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Peter?
your enthusiasm for the show, it really is incredible, Marcus.
Pete,
yeah, let's get out of it.
Pete, do a jingle.
All right.
That's what I like.
Do the dance.
Stop doing the dance.
How long does this go on for?
Another 4 seconds. Sounds like a man burping, doesn't it?
Thanks for listening.
Have it again.
Let's get out of here.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.